Psalm 107. Oh, I think you're going to find your story here. A friend was on her way in to church this morning. She said, thank you so much for Psalm 73. I said, just wait till you get hold of 107. There was another friend as she was coming in for the service. She said, I'm just so worn out. I haven't had a chance to even catch my breath and this kind of thing. I said, this message is for you. Your story is in Psalm 107. Psalm 107. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say this. God is God and there is no other. I was lost. I was bound. I was foolish. I was crazy. I was drowning. And God showed up. Is that your story? Have you ever been there? Have you ever been lost? And I'm not just talking about lost in a churchy kind of way, all right? Because I know lost means one thing in the walls of the church. It means something else in the rest of the world, right? But have you ever just had that time in your life and you're like, God, I don't know what's next. You know that whole next right thing. And Lord, I just don't know what the next right thing is. Is that you? Is that ever been your story? And not just, you know, before you sort of came to know the Lord, maybe when you were 5 or when you were 15 or when you were 25, but I'm saying lately, is that you? Have you been lost? Have you been bound? Have you been bound? You know, I mean, there's that line in Hebrews about the sin that so easily entangles us, right? The things that just bind you up, the things that keep you from walking free, the things that you trip over, the things that keep you from making any progress. Have you ever been bound? I think you have. I bet you have. It's my story. I bet it's your story too. Lost, bound, foolish. It says here, there's this line, Gretchen read it to you. Some became fools through their rebellious ways and they suffered affliction. Is that where you find yourself? Because if it is, you don't have to stay there. I mean, if that's where you've been, you don't have to stay there. Have you ever cried out to the Lord in the midst of that kind of trouble? And if you have, you know that the faithfulness of God, it's not based on what I've done to deserve it. It's based on his faithfulness, right? It's by grace that we've been saved through faith, that not of ourselves, the gift of God, not by works, so that none of us can boast. It's not because God saw real potential in you that he sent his son for you. You were a mess. I was dead in my trespasses and sins when God sent his son for me. But have you ever cried out to the Lord and found his faithfulness that when they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, he brought them out. He saved them. He broke their chains. Is that your story? Because if it is, you know he can do it again. Unless you find yourself in that place, that squirrel trap of a place, where you say, you know what, Rusty, I appreciate what you're saying, but you don't know how many times I've prayed the same prayer. And you don't know how many times I've tried to get free of the same hurt or the same addiction or the same brokenness. And God showed up, and then he showed up there again and again. In fact, enough times that I'm embarrassed to even pray that same prayer again. Precious ones, the good news today is that you're here and God is here to answer the prayers. Has God ever delivered you? If so, you got to believe he can do it again. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say this. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. There's this line from the book of Revelation. It says they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of the testimony of Jesus. They overcame this enemy of their soul, the one who would seek to keep them bound, the one that would try to keep us in darkness, the one who would try to keep us afflicted by our foolish ways, the one who would keep us just buried under the busyness, the enemy of your soul, the enemy of my soul. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of the testimony. Then I cried out to the Lord and God showed up. I was telling some friends about the opening line of Psalm 107 earlier this week. It says, give thanks to the Lord for he is good. Give thanks to the Lord for he is good. I was reading that and it seemed so innocuous. It seemed almost like a throwaway line. And I thought, there's got to be something under that. There's got to be something there. And so I pulled it out and I looked at the language under it. And it says, when it says, give thanks to the Lord for he is good, it's a warfare worship kind of word. It's an empty your hands kind of word. I was reading it in the lexicon. It says, it is a word that talks about throwing things in worship. Can you imagine? It's a word that talks about emptying your hands. It's throwing stones. It's unleashing the arrows. It's throwing the spears. It's like, Lord, I just want to worship in such a way that my story goes up to heaven and it penetrates the clouds and your mercy rains down through it. It's warfare worship when people like you and me come together and we tell our stories. Because I guarantee you, even though everybody in here has got a different story, everybody's story needs the same kind of touch from the Lord. Can I get an amen? Going to get a better amen than that. It's going to take longer. All right, I'm just saying. So let's look at this together. Beginning at verse 4, Psalm 107, verse 4. Some wandered in the desert wastelands, finding no way to a city where they could settle. They were hungry. They were thirsty. Their lives ebbed away. Some wandered in desert, in darkness. Again, verse 10. Some sat in darkness, utter darkness, prisoners suffering in iron chains because they rebelled against the commands and despised the plans of the Most High. Is that your story? Some, verse 17, became fools through their rebellious ways. They suffered affliction because of their iniquities. They loathed all food. They drew near the gates of death. And then they cried to the Lord. Is that your story? Have you ever been there? Have you ever been at the place where, honestly, you did it. You did it to yourself. You're sitting and you're wrapped in chains of your own making. You're sitting in a prison cell of your own making, and there you are. And you come to this place where you just have this, God, I need you kind of moment, a Psalm 107 moment. You cry to the Lord, and God comes. Some, verse 23, went out on the sea in ships. They were doing business in great waters. And this one doesn't even seem to fit the others. I mean, wandering in darkness and seeking a way to a city, right? You can't even find where to go. I mean, and then the others, sitting in darkness and prison, suffering in iron chains and fools through their affliction. And then there are those who are just workaholics. I mean, it just seems like... That's sort of the socially acceptable bondage, right? I mean, we got all kinds of bondages in this world, and some are more socially acceptable than others. I mean, if somebody medicates with a bottle, it's one thing. If somebody medicates with mashed potatoes, it's something different. But it all comes from the same heart that says, God, I need something to give me comfort. I need something to sort of soothe my anxiety. God, I need something to help me out of this mess. God, I'm broken. Some wandered. Some sat in darkness. Some became fools through their affliction. Some were just buried in the busyness of their life. Is that you? Any of these? I was reading something this week from one of my favorite authors, and he talked about those times in your walk with Christ, those times in your walk with the Lord when you kind of stumble onto an unconverted place in your life. I don't want that to mess with your theology, but it's one of those times when you realize, you know what? I'm in some water here that I'm not so sure I've invited Jesus into just yet. I mean, when I first came to know Jesus, I was a little bitty kid. I gave him all of my life that I knew about. But by the time I hit adolescence, there were parts that I didn't even know to invite him into 5 years previously, right? And then by the time I became a young adult and Steph and I were beginning to put a family together and try to keep a roof over our head, you know, there were parts of my life that I didn't even know to give to Jesus when I was a teenager. I didn't even know that I needed to hand those things over. You come across these unconverted places, places that are new territory to you, and you need to come to the place where you say, Lord, save me here. I just wrote that in my Bible next to these different vignettes in Psalm 107 where it says they were hungry and they were thirsty, they were wandering in the wastelands. I said, Lord, I just wrote it in my Bible. God, save me here. I circled it. God, save me here. In those times, those moments when I don't know what the next right thing is, God, save me here. God, meet me here. Those times when I find myself sitting in darkness, utter darkness, prisoners suffering in iron chains because of my rebellion against God. There's this line, it's a troubling line. It says, so God subjected them to bitter labor and they stumbled and there was no one to help them. You're like, wait a minute, God, I thought you loved me. Why would that be from your hand? That's what it says. It's on Psalm 107. Verse 12, so he subjected them to bitter labor. They stumbled, and there was no one to help. You know why that is? That's because God loves you too much to let you go your merry way. God loves you too much to keep going 90 miles an hour in the wrong direction. God loves you so much. God loves you so much that he is willing and able to turn you around. It's my story. God, save me here. God, save me here. Save me here. And maybe that's an appropriate prayer for you today. Maybe that's the warfare worship for you today. Lord, I've known you forever. But Lord, I need to know you here. I need to know you now. I need to know you in this present moment. Because then they cried to the Lord. They cried to the Lord, and he delivered them. They cried to the Lord. Let me just give you these. They cried to the Lord, verse 6. They cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress, and he led them by a straight way to a city where they could settle. There's that line from Hebrews. We are searching. We're pilgrims and strangers. We are searching for a city whose builder and maker is God. There's something in us that is just not content because he has set eternity in our hearts. This world is not my home. And God led them to a city. They cried out. He delivered them, led them, brought them out. They cried out to the Lord. Verse 13, they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them. He saved them from their distress, and he brought them out of the darkness, utter darkness, and he broke their chains. That is the warfare worship. Lord, in Jesus' name, I'm so sick of being bound by the same thing over and over, the sin that so easily entangles, the sin that's the besetting sins, Lord, in Jesus' name. I want freedom. I'm longing for freedom because that kind of foolishness is what has got me into affliction in the past. And they cry out to the Lord. They cry out to the Lord. Verse 19. And he saved them from their distress, and he sent out his word, and he healed them, he rescued them. Oh, let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love. And they cried out to the Lord when they were just buried with a kind of busyness. It seems innocuous, really. I mean, it seems like one of those, well, it's a season of life. But you find yourself in that moment with the Lord when you can't see straight. They that went down to the sea in ships, they were merchants on the mighty waters. They saw the works of the Lord, his wonderful deeds in the deep, for he spoke and he stirred up a tempest. Does that sound like your workplace? He spoke and he stirred up a tempest that lifted high the waves. They mounted up to the heavens and then, whoom, down to the depths. And in their peril, their courage melted away. They reeled and they staggered like drunkards. They were at their wits' end. God, save us. Here. And they cried out to the Lord, and he brought them out of their distress, and he stilled the storm to a whisper. The waves of the sea were hushed. They were glad when it grew calm, and he guided them to their desired haven. What will God do when God shows up? What will God do when God shows up? At the head of Psalm 107, I've got it written in my Bible. You'll have to write these down. I don't have them on the screen. At the head of Psalm 107 in my Bible, on the left-hand side, I've written the reference. Exodus chapter 6, verses 6 through 9. Again, if you want to go find it later, you need to write it down. And you'll probably want to go find it later because it's powerful. Exodus 6, 6 through 9. And then on the right-hand side of the head of Psalm 107, I've got Luke chapter 4, verses 18 and 19, where Jesus comes in from the wilderness and he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." But let me read this to you from Exodus chapter 6 for a second. And if you turn there in your Bible, you may have some notes written there, because whenever we do a Passover supper, when we do a Seder meal, we always go to Exodus chapter 6. Because here's what the Lord wants you to know if you find yourself imprisoned in darkness, utter darkness. Here's what the Lord wants you to know if you find yourself wandering in a desert wasteland. Here's what the Lord wants you to know if you find yourself in chains of your own affliction. Here's what the Lord wants you to know. I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians, and I will free you from being slaves to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. I will take you as my own people. I will be your God. And then you'll know that I am the Lord your God who brought you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians, and I will bring you to the land I swore with uplifted hand to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and I will give it to you as a possession because I am the Lord. And it just says, the Lord says, I'm going to bring you out. Is that the good news you need to hear today? I'm going to bring you out. I will free you from, what do you need to be freed from? What do you need to be released from? I will bring you out. I will free you from. I will redeem you. You know what that says? That says, I will pay the price that you can't pay. I will pay the price that you've been languishing under. He paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I will redeem you. I will bring you out. I will free you from. I will redeem you. I will take you as my own. Is that the good news you need to hear today? Not just that you would be taken out, not just that you would be freed from, but that you would have a place to belong. Oh man, how many people are just yearning for a place to belong? I will bring you out, I will free you from, I will redeem you, I will take you as my own, and I will bring you home. I will bring you home to the place that I promised. I will bring you home so that you will have a place to belong. Let me read to you from Luke chapter 4. This is where Jesus has just come in from the cold. He's just come in from the wilderness. He's baptized, and the Spirit of the Lord leads him out into the wilderness, and he faces head on, face to face, eyeball to eyeball, the enemy of his soul. And having answered the enemy of his soul, he comes back in and hears his testimony. He quotes from Isaiah 61 and he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor, proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." When John the Baptist, I don't know if you remember John the Baptist, when John the Baptist finds himself sitting in darkness, utter darkness, in a prison, not his own making. When he finds himself and he's about to lose his head, both literally and figuratively, and he calls some of his disciples, he says, "I want you to go find Jesus, and I want you to ask him this question on my behalf. Are you the one, or should we expect another? Because if you're the one, why am I in this prison? Are you the one, or should we expect another? Because if you're the one, why am I living with an axe hanging over my head? Are you the one, or should we expect another? Because if you're the one, why am I here?" And Jesus tells the disciples, he says, "Go back and tell John what you see. Go back and tell John what you see. The dead are raised. The blind receive their sight. Good news is preached to the poor. Go back and tell John what you see." You know why he said that? Because these are the signs of the Messiah. This is how you know you're dealing with the Messiah. Because good news is preached to the poor, and freedom is preached to the prisoners, and recovery of sight to the blind, and the oppressed are set free. And precious ones, that's what God does when God shows up. When you find yourself lost and bound, And when you find yourself afflicted and broken and buried under the busyness, and you reach the end of yourself and you cry to the Lord in your distress, and he shows up. I mean, God shows up. And what does God do? He pronounces good news to the poor. And that'd be you. That'd be me. Good news. He pronounces and he proclaims recovery of sight for the blind. And I know there's nobody in here with a red-tipped cane. But I know there's an awful lot of us in here today who can't see the path forward. And he said, I've come to preach good news to the poor, proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind. Prison doors open. Chains of iron broken. Oppressed people. It's freedom day, y'all. It's freedom day. Time to be free of all those chains that have bound us for so long. You remember the story I was telling you about Juneteenth? How it had been 2.5 years from the time that the word came down. Been 2.5 years from the time that the word came down. You're free. You're valued. You matter. Your life counts. You will no longer be bound and imprisoned. You will no longer be the property and possession of. No. You are mine. And I will bring you out, and I will set you free, and I will redeem you. But it took 2.5 years from January 1st, 1863, to Freedom Day, June 19th, 1865, for the news to get all the way to me. Why? Why do we live so long in that kind of bondage? Why do we allow the enemy of our soul to keep us bound up, imprisoned, and blind? No, today's your day to cry out to the Lord. And by the way, that's not a churchy prayer. That, have you ever cried out to the Lord? That's one of those times. You ever had a time when you needed to get in your truck and drive out into the woods, someplace where nobody could hear you, to cry out to the Lord from the wailing of your soul? God, I need you. God, I need you now. God, save me here. Because if God has ever shown up for you in the past, I can promise you this, God will show up for you again. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me for a minute? Lord, we know what it is. Every one of us. We know what it is to be in touch with our lostness, with our boundness, with our foolishness. Lord, we know what it is to be separate from you, without hope and without God in the world. But Lord, in Jesus' name, some of us have known freedom too. Some of us have experienced that time when you showed up. We've tasted and we've seen that you are good and that you are God. And oh, how we need you now. Oh, how we need you now. While your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, everybody's prison looks a little different. Everybody's chains have a little different color and a little different complexion. But we've all known what it is. The hurts that won't seem to heal. The grudges and the pain and the brokenness that we can't seem to get past. And the things that we've turned to for help and for comfort that seemed innocent enough at first, but link upon link, they became the chain that kept kept me going back to the porn site, or kept me going back to the bottle, or kept me going back to that street, or kept me going. You see where I'm going? But God, in Jesus' name, we need you now. In the unconverted places, Lord, to bring the freedom that only you can bring. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has sent me to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, the turning point. This far, no further. Lord, I'm coming home.